Welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. Don't forget, coming your way tonight at 6, another edition of the Tyson Helton Coaches Show. Head coach of Western Kentucky, looking back at the win against UTC over the weekend. And, oh, by the way, this week, Western Kentucky on the road to take on 11th-ranked BYU. We'll have all the action right here on Nashville Sports Radio Saturday night. But right now, chance to talk some NFL and more. Our good buddy Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Sportsline.com is the site. Thank you, as always, Alan, and welcome back to the show. Hello. Alan. There we go.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, now we're good.
Okay. All right, sorry. Hey, first off, thanks for having me back, buddy. Hope you're feeling good. And it's just good to hear your voice.
Hey, I just want to say thank you, by the way, Alan, and you know, you're one of the so many people that reached out last week, and certainly much appreciated. The prayers were welcome, and so far so good, heading in the right direction. But I just want to say thank you personally.
Oh gosh, of course, man. I'm just glad that you're doing good. You're feeling better, and again, man, just happy for that.
Would not want to wish that upon anybody. Worst enemy, whatever. Don't want to wish that upon anybody. You don't. I'll just say it. You don't want to have to go through and experience what I did. So just do everything you can. I stress it all the time. Do everything you can to avoid getting it.
Yeah, I'm just glad you're good, buddy. That's what means the world to me, man.
All right, so let's start with yesterday here in Nashville. Two unbeaten teams, and you know, it looked like all Pittsburgh through the first three quarters. They get up to the 27-7 lead. Ben Roethlisberger just looking magical, especially as the Steelers were looking to run away with this game. And then for the second straight week, the Titans with the nice comeback, and unfortunately for them, I mean, they were in the they had the opportunity there to send the game into overtime, but a makeable field goal missed, and so the Titans fall for the first time this year.
They did. So, you know, I got a couple thoughts on this game. First off, you know, great comeback. You know, obviously, you know, to see what the Titans did offensively and defensively in the second half, and you know, to have a chance to tie that thing up, you know, go to overtime, that was a great second-half performance. Here's the thing. The Titans got themselves a good test. And that's really all this game is, was a good test. You know, it's not going to hurt them in the division or anything like that. But you got to see, you know, kind of where your deficiencies are. And you got to see what, you know, another Super Bowl contender-type team looks like. And I think the Titans can learn a lot from this game. You know, and here's the other thing about Pittsburgh. They are good. I mean, don't be wrong. The defense, you know, we've talked about it, of how good they are. That offense is so much better than people give them credit for. They're just overshadowed by a really good defense, but they're diverse. I think there were 10 or 11, you know, different players that had touches in some way. Ben Roethlisberger gets rid of the ball extremely quick. It's some of the fastest I've ever seen him operate. So you really can't get after him, you know, as a defensive line, and they kind of take blitzing away from you. This is a really good Pittsburgh team, and I can't wait to see them this Sunday against the Ravens.
You know, as one of the things, too, and, you know, and several players echoed this thought about the Titans yesterday, the fact that in so many ways, maybe it is a good thing that they suffered the loss because they were, you know, because of the fact that they kept getting W's, it was kind of like maybe overshadowing things that they certainly needed to improve upon. And so by suffering the loss now, is now you have the sense of urgency to get these things corrected as the season marches on.
Oh, definitely. You know, and for, you know, a coaching staff, and Johnny, you've been around football your whole life. You know this better than anybody. You know, coaches, they don't want to lose, but they don't mind taking a loss and using it, you know, on the team to say, hey, are you listening to what we've been telling you, you know, in terms of the secondary, in terms of third downs, in terms of, you know, field goal kicking, in terms of the entire team. Let me say this. The Titans were due a loss at some point just because of these factors. You can't let teams, you know, get up early on you. You can't give away points in the kicking game. You know, they've been leaving 3, 6, 9 points on the field, you know, seemingly every week.
And in the NFL, I mean, 6 points or less, that's almost 40% of every, you know, statistical probability of a finish. You just can't do it, you know. So it's not much more than just a loss to a really good team. And you've got the ability now to get better, you know, in areas that you need to. So, you know, again, it's not anything that'll necessarily hurt this team moving forward. Can't be a good learning opportunity.
Some of the other things that stood out yesterday, I really got into the Cleveland Browns Cincinnati game of all things, and just watching, you know, if here's the thing, if the Bengals front office can give him additional weapons with as far as Joe Burrow is concerned, I look at Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, I look at what a bright future Justin Herbert has, and what he was doing with the Chargers yesterday. And looking forward to seeing exactly what these two guys are going to look like if they can get the necessary weapons to keep improving as a team.
Oh, absolutely, and especially with the Bengals. I mean, you know, the Chargers, you know, they certainly, you know, they need some help, but they're a much better roster, you know, than Cincinnati. Joe Burrow is out there essentially doing it by himself. He didn't even have Joe Mixon out there with him yesterday. And you know, here's a note to Titans fans, you know, about this upcoming game, you know, for the Titans in Cincinnati. I've watched every Eagles game this year. Look out. This team is better than you think, and they put up points. You know, Burrow, you know, he throws the ball 50 to 55 times a game. He lets it rip. And for a team that has some secondary issues, you better be prepared because this team brings it. And I'm with you. You know, these young quarterbacks, I mean, Burrow's been fantastic. Justin Herbert's been fantastic. Look around the league. Like, the youth movement is here. Those two, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield. I mean, keep going down the list. Now, there's so many good quarterbacks, you know, that are 25 years or younger. You know, these guys are ready to come in and play now. That's why, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, you know, get his first start this coming week. It's a youth movement in the NFL for sure.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Tua Tagovailoa there getting his start with the Dolphins because Zach and I were talking about this last hour, and, you know, you look at the NFC East, a division that could be won by any of those four teams, and the fact that although the Cowboys, three games under 500, they're only a half game out of first place behind the Eagles, and he was suggesting that, you know, maybe the Cowboys go out and find a way to lure Ryan Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins, and adding him to their roster, meaning the Cowboys adding him to their roster, because, you know, why not? It's not like you fear the Eagles or Washington or the Giants for that matter. Somebody's got to win the division. Why not give yourself a better opportunity to win it?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting idea. And, you know, they could get him for, you know, pretty cheap. That I haven't thought about that, but that's a good call because, you know, like you said, the NFC East is up there to grab. And especially, you know, for a new head coach, you know, and Mike McCarthy, I mean, he's looking for any kind of spark whatsoever. It's getting rough for them over there. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about that, but that's a good idea.
Here's the other part, though, and, you know, we talk about the importance of certain players. Dak Prescott, he meant everything. He, you know, there's no doubt about that he is the heart and soul of that Cowboys team. And when he went down with the season-ending injury, you just look at the Cowboys and they're just a lost fish there swimming in a fishbowl, you know, taking a little song there from Pink Floyd. And, you know, and it's interesting that the impact of one player can have, but, you know, it just really shows you why he was probably worth the $40 million a year to that particular team, because he really is the heart and soul of the Cowboys.
Yeah, oh, he absolutely is. And, you know, not only the heart and soul of that team, he was the best player on that team by far. Look at what he was masking in terms of the issues that team has. I mean, it's night and day. I mean, obviously, you know, he couldn't fix the defense, but he could sure put up points. And now that they're not putting up any points, I mean, this team, I mean, they're a disaster. I mean, they essentially flew to Washington yesterday to kick a field goal, and that was it. Right? I mean, it's just – it's bad over there. And, you know, what concerns me the most with Dallas is there's a disconnect between this coaching staff and the players, and you can see it, you can hear it, you can read it, you can feel it. There's something wrong here,
And it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, it's odd that Dak Prescott, his greatest contract leverage is going to come this year in a season where he doesn't play, because now Jerry Jones can see, buddy, you guys were arguing about $1, $2, $3 million on the fifth year of a deal. Don't really think that that's too much. You know, that wasn't too big of an issue. You probably should have just gotten the guy. They got problems over there, big ones.
How is it possible that the Dallas Cowboys have the worst, the very worst defense in the league?
I don't know. I mean, I know that that team has had a ton of injuries. They've got depth issues, but, you know, a lot of the injuries have been, you know, on the offensive side. It's bad. And you look at, you know, Mike Nolan, who, you know, the defensive coordinator, who's obviously, you know, Mike McCarthy's guy. You know, we've seen this out of him in San Francisco, and it's just, it's horrific. I mean, it's just so bad. They're putting up stats and numbers that literally, Johnny, have never been seen before in the NFL. They're averaging, you know, giving up more points in the first half of games through 5-6 games than like 12 teams in the NFL give up in entire games. It's just, it's horrific, and it's going to continue to get worse. There's nothing that says that this is going to get better, because players are going to, you know, kind of mentally check out, you know, week after week. It's already started.
We look at some of the other things that stood out as far as yesterday. From your standpoint, what caught your eye?
Well, you know, first off, the Tampa Bay Bucks are pretty good. And, you know, what they do, obviously, you know, all the focus, kind of what we talked about with Pittsburgh, except on the opposite side, all their focus is on Tom Brady and the offense. And don't get me wrong, you know, obviously, you know, it should be. But they might have the best defense in the NFL. I mean, they are incredibly efficient with what they do. They're the only team in the NFL that allows less than 3 yards a carry for the opposing team on the ground. So, I mean, that was a big one, you know, to take notice of. They're just a really, really good football team. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Steelers, we talked about that. They're a fantastic team. The Buffalo Bills, obviously, they won, you know, against the Jets, but there are issues with this team. They can't run the ball. They can't score. I don't know what has happened, but in the last 3 weeks, I mean, they are giving up monstrous numbers. Obviously, they didn't do too much, you know, give too much against the Jets because it's kind of anemic, but still, there's some issues there with that team. The Green Bay Packers quietly handled business. Looks like they've gotten themselves back, you know, kind of into shape. And then the last one, the New England Patriots. They are so devoid of talent and any offensive weapon whatsoever. Think about this. Cam Newton is their leading passer. Cam Newton is their leading rusher. And Cam Newton has more receiving yards than three other Patriots wide receivers this season. And he might get benched. Like, he's literally all they have, and he might not even be good enough to start. It is amazing how fast that team has fallen. And you know what? I kind of understand Tom Brady now saying, you know what, I was getting a little tired of being chewed out in the locker room. I was hiding a lot of problems on this team. And you know what? You guys can have it. I'm going to go down here and win in Tampa. Do what you do. New England has fallen off quickly.
Yeah, there's their first three-game losing streak in the regular season. You have to go back to 2002. That was a season that the Patriots end up with a four-game losing streak. They finish the season 9-7 and don't make the playoffs. But don't feel too sorry for them. They went on to win the next two Super Bowls, so 3 out of 4 years. But how about Tampa Bay? You know, they keep getting richer. You know, they added Leonard Fournette, who led them yesterday as far as with the run attack. He carried 11 times for 50 yards, also caught 6 passes out of the backfield. But you got Chris Godwin. You got Rob Gronkowski. You got Mike Evans. You got a Scotty Miller. And, oh, by the way, it looks like they're adding Antonio Brown, too.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, again, I don't know if I would want to add Antonio Brown to my locker room. And I don't, you know, we don't even know how many games this guy, you know, will even play. But his talent is undeniable, and you add it to what you just went down, you listed those weapons that they have. This is a really, really good football team. And Rob Gronkowski, you know, 2 weeks ago, literally, I was watching him. I was like, this looks like my grandfather running around. Like, he didn't even look like, you know, an NFL player. But every week, he is taking massive strides toward getting back to what he used to be. And the good thing for him is that they don't need him,
you know, to be a number one weapon, which is really good, you know, in terms of him getting his body back, getting his feet under him. Because when he's not needed and you're looking at him, you know, with a second, third, fourth defender, he's going to tear you up because he's just so big and so good. This team, for real, is built. They're a good football team.
How fun is it this year when you look at the AFC and the NFC? Usually by this point, it looks like there's a team that emerges, maybe a couple that you can go, oh, by far, they're the class of the NFC or the class of the AFC. We don't have that this year. This year it seems like, you know, whatever week you check, it could be a different answer to that question, whether like in the NFC. It could be Seattle. Don't sleepwalk on Arizona. We mentioned Tampa Bay. There's still the Saints. Chicago to me, and I'm just not buying into their 5-1 record, but I'm buying into the Green Bay Packers. Really, the only team that would be in the playoffs that I don't really have a lot of faith in would be whoever ends up winning the NFC East as far as on the NFC side of things.
Yeah, you're right. And that's an interesting take because, I mean, you're correct in saying that. You know, it seems, you know, 3 weeks ago we were talking about, okay, well, you know, it looks like the Chiefs are going to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl. And not that, you know, they're not going to compete for it. But, you know, we've seen a couple weeks now where the Chiefs look beatable. You know, you're going to have to bring an A game. But, you know, they're not, you know, just this juggernaut that is just completely unstoppable. You know, we've seen some issues with Seattle. Russell Wilson's having, an MVP season. But their defense has given up more pass yards, you know, than any other team in the NFL. The Green Bay Packers, you know, look like they turned it around, but they've got some issues. I mean, you're right. Like, there is, you know, not that one team week after week after week where you say, all right, this is clearly the class of it, you know, and I think it's going to stay that way the rest of the year. It's good. There's some parity in there. The Steelers-Ravens, obviously, that's a big one this week. But again, you know, whoever wins that, that doesn't even mean that team's going to win that division. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a really fun NFL season. We haven't seen anything like this in a while, and I'm enjoying it. Every week is almost kind of like a surprise. Same thing with college, too. You know, this year is truly week-to-week leagues, both in college and the NFL.
I mean, right now, how would you rank them 1, 2, and 3, the best teams in the AFC?
I'd put Pittsburgh 1. I'd put Kansas City 2, and I'd probably put Baltimore 3. Tennessee's in there, probably a close 4. But, yeah, I mean, if I had to do it, I'd probably say Steelers, Chiefs, Ravens. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, for me, I still like Pittsburgh mainly because of their defense, although Baltimore has allowed fewer points than even Pittsburgh's allowed.
Yep, they have. And you know what? And Baltimore scores faster. Like, this could be for the Steelers. How they jumped up big on the Titans, and then the Titans kind of came back. This could be an opposite game for them. Baltimore could put up 14, 21 points on you in the first quarter quick, but they can also give up points later in the game. So I'm with you. Those two teams are hard to distinguish between which one's better. I guess we're going to find out.
How strange is it that the Tennessee Titans have actually outscored the Baltimore Ravens this year?
It's incredible. Like, that's the thing is that, you know, this Titans team, it's just remarkable of how good and efficient this offense is, especially in the second half and especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, when pressure is on, Ryan Tannehill plays at his best. And, you know, we didn't even see too terribly much of Derrick Henry yesterday. I mean, it's just incredible what they're getting done in the air. This team puts up points. Hey, here's a stat for you. Since 2019, there are two players that lead the NFL with the most 50-plus yard touchdowns. They both have 5. Okay, it's Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. It's
absolutely
incredible, man. Yeah, it's incredible what they can do. It really is.
And watching Brown, when he breaks away, I mean, that was a thing of beauty yesterday when he split the two cornerbacks going downfield, or one of the safeties. I mean, that was just a beautiful thing, and we've seen it time and time again. I was saying this last hour, you know, with D.K. Metcalf and A.J. Brown, I'm still shocked that Ole Miss did not win more football games.
I know. Like, what in the world was happening over there, these two guys? Are incredible. DK Metcalf was running like a cheetah last night. You know, chasing down Buda Baker. I mean, these two guys are incredible.
Hey, always a pleasure, Alan. Remind everybody again what they can expect when they go to sportsline.com.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, if you're into the wagering aspect of games, if you're into fantasy, DFS, or even just want to look, you know, at some analytical stats behind the scenes,
Sports Line, we have you covered. We're going for, you know, Monday Night Football tonight, the World Series tomorrow. We've got all the lines and everything ready for college football week 9, NFL week 8. So go to sportsline.com, click around, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Hey, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you later in the week, but until then, have a wonderful Monday night.
You too, buddy. Continue to feel safe and healthy. Thank you.
Thank you again. That's Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline, sportsline.com. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. You know, we've always talked about the Hendersonville location at Circus World as far as an enhanced experience. Well, now Murfreesboro, part of that equation, located in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, now providing two enhanced experiences here in Middle Tennessee for you. Hendersonville, now Murfreesboro as well. And besides the normal things like bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment, you can also enjoy things like laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Other locations to serve you includes Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, the Tusculum area. Always a great time with friends and family. Plus, no matter what time of year you're talking about, you can always enjoy your favorite teams on the TVs located throughout as well. For more information, you can go online, strikeandspare.com. All locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Well, good afternoon. We're looking at a crash here on 24 eastbound at Sam Ridley Parkway in Rutherford County. It's got traffic slow. It's really more rubbernecking than anything that's got that bogged down. 6300 block of Charlotte Pike. There's been a crash out on the west side. We've had several today on 24 eastbound here up by Shelby, up by the football stadium. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of Innsbank. Innsbank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. Innsbank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InnsbankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know Innsbank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And MLS number 3030.
Five-State Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For this afternoon, cloudy sky, high 61, light north winds. Fog develops after midnight tonight with a mostly cloudy, low down to 51. For tomorrow, Tuesday, remaining dry yet mostly cloudy. Afternoon, high 66. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600-844-5600. Coming up tonight, this week, as far as the NFL wraps up with the Monday night affair, the Rams at home, a 6-point favorite against the Chicago Bears. Which way are you leaning in this one, Zach?
You know, this seems like a really good setup game for the Rams to play poorly. I like what the Bears have been doing, even though they have the ugliest winning record probably in football right now. But their defense is so strong. And if they can just figure it back out on the offensive side, let's say, you know, this Tampa Bay team, they lost to the Bears. The Bears made them play ugly, and they could not get anything done. That front rush that the Bears have on their defense is...
And Tom Brady can't count against
the
Bears.
That's the other side, yeah. I mean, they were playing... That's how bad their rush was. The team was making them miscount over there. That's, you know, that's how much pressure was felt on them. So this Bears defense, if they can do that to Tom Brady and that high-powered Tampa Bay offense... They can do that to the Rams just as easily with no Daryl Henderson and no real running threat.
But here's the thing. Guess who has a better defense than the Bears in the NFC?
Who would be that?
The only other team? The Rams. The Rams have given up fewer points than the Bears. In fact, the Rams have given up the fewest points in the NFC. They've given up two fewer points than the Bears have so far this year.
Yeah, and... Obviously, Aaron Donald doesn't hurt that at all, right? He's a big part of it. But I don't know. I think it's going to be – I think, one, you're not going to get a blowout scoring contest. That's just not what's going to happen tonight. If anything, it's going to be an ugly, gross game that where both offenses are having a hard time moving forward.
Yeah, but if there is an offense that has, you know, some success tonight, I would lean towards Jared Goff and the Rams over the Chicago Bears.
And actually, I want to correct myself. Daryl Henderson is playing tonight. He got the healthy move, so he's going to be able to be there. But still, I want to go with the Bears. That could just be my fantasy team that needs the Bears to have a good day. I get swayed very easily.
Are you a little biased? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. 100%. When it comes to winning on my fantasy teams, yes. I'm very biased.
Hey, by the way, I you know, look at the latest rankings as far as the AP Top 25 that came out yesterday. How strange is this? Guess how many conferences are represented in the Top 25 this week?
Three.
Really? No. Let's try nine. Nine conferences, one independent. So of the 25 teams, you've got the ACC with four, SEC with four, Big Ten with five, Big 12 with four, the Pac-12, which is yet to play. They don't play until November. They have two. The American Athletic Conference, two. Conference USA with Marshall has one. Sun Belt, one. Mountain West, one. And then BYU, the lone independent. And by the way, BYU will be in action. They're ranked 11th this week. They'll be in action coming up Saturday night, 9:15 start time as far as kickoff, as they actually play host to Western Kentucky. We'll have the game right here on National Sports Radio. But nine conferences and one independent.
Yeah, it makes sense that they would, just because there's no crossover for the most part between some of these programs.
I mean, look at some of these names. I mean, Cincinnati's ranked number 7 this week. We mentioned BYU in the 11th spot, but you got Marshall 19th. You've got Coastal Carolina, which got ranked for the first time. And, oh, by the way, they got a 28-14 win against Georgia Southern as a ranked team on Saturday. But it's just interesting seeing all of the, you know, your normal teams like Clemson, Bama, Ohio State mixed in with the Marshalls and Coastal Carolinas of the world.
Well, you know, right now, if any of those teams that you're mentioning right now, if they played any lower echelon SEC team, are they winning? You know, are they looking as good as what they look right now? And the answer is probably no.
How bizarre is this, too? Speaking of the SEC, there's only, as I mentioned, only four teams ranked. Only two teams are actually getting votes as far as this week's top 25. But the four teams that are ranked, all in the top 10. Bama 2, Georgia 5, Texas A&M in the 8th spot, and the Florida Gators at number 10.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about early, and you know, before all the season really even started, we knew it was going to be SEC playing against SEC. It's going to hurt some teams that are really good and just not going to look as good on the stat column or even just the win-loss column, and this is where you're seeing those smaller programs have the recognition. It's just UCF was too good in the wrong era. Had they been in the COVID-19 and had that perfect streak going now, then we might actually have seen them in the national championship.
By the way, a couple other things that stood out on Saturday. How about Michigan? You know, they were playing on the road at Minnesota. A lot of build up with Minnesota on Saturday. And this game was supposed to be just a 3-point game, right? You know, Michigan was favored by 3 against Minnesota. A nice statement on Saturday for Jim Harbaugh and his group, blowing out Minnesota Saturday 49-24.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes forward. But, I mean, having Penn State lose like that and then Michigan win, it's starting to look better there for them inside that division.
But Penn State can certainly change that script this Saturday. So as bad as that was losing to Indiana, you can rewrite all of that if they can find a way, and they're hosting third-ranked Ohio State Saturday. If Penn State can find a way Saturday night to beat Ohio State, you can, and it takes just 7 days to erase that bad taste of getting upset by Indiana Saturday night.
The stink,
yeah. Any way you want to slice it and dice it. But if you're Penn State, you can't lose. If you lose to Ohio State, forget about national championship runs.
I wonder if the Indiana's trainer, whoever leads their stretching protocols and everything, I wonder if that guy got a raise, that person got a raise, because, I mean, that body contorted so perfectly. And
here's the thing, Indiana, you know, they get ranked, so they weren't ranked last week. So the highest debut for a team getting ranked this week, they come in at number 17. And, oh, by the way, this week they're at Rutgers, and you go, oh, well, if they beat Penn State, they should be able to beat Rutgers. And Rutgers beat Michigan State on Saturday. So this will be one of those games that you could easily see where an Indiana team gets beat by Rutgers Saturday.
Yep. There's going to be a lot of upsets going through just based on that little number right next to some teams that probably don't deserve it.
Well, and it was also bizarre, too. Wisconsin started Big Ten play on Friday night, and just a very impressive win with what they were able to do against Illinois, right? So they took care of business on Friday night, and their quarterback was just almost perfect with what he brought to the table Friday night. Graham Mertz, he was 20 of 21, 248 yards, 5 touchdowns, so a huge blowout win for Wisconsin. And, oh, by the way, since then, he's now tested positive for COVID.
Wow.
I know. So it's like, how bizarre. But Wisconsin, have them circled. Certainly a team that could be, a team that could make a run as far as the 14 playoffs this year.
You know what we haven't talked about is the quadruple doink. Did you see that?
What was that?
It was the Middle Tennessee game on that field goal, and he hit the field goal. It kicked off the right post, bounced on the crossbar, kicked off the left post, bounced back on the crossbar, and then kicked out. So it was I can't believe you didn't see the quadruple doink.
No, missed that one.
Oh man, it's like Halley's Comet. It only comes around every 70 years or so. So you got to wait a while for the next one. But yeah, quadruple doink happened in that game.
All right, coming up on the other side, a chance to talk some Alabama football. Really disappointing news with Jalen Waddle, expected to miss the rest of the season. He's a projected first-round pick in the NFL draft coming up in April in 2021. Goes down on the very first play on the opening kickoff of that Tennessee game. But we'll talk about Alabama moving forward as Brett Hudson joins us. He is the Alabama beat writer for the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. He's on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still dealing with that truck that flipped earlier up there on Rivergate Parkway, just off I-65 in the Rivergate area. 6,000 block of Charlotte Pike, that crash is being cleared. Still quite a bit of traffic volume on 24 eastbound right now at Sam Ridley. As you continue out towards Murfreesboro, everybody was staring at that earlier crash. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website, virtualnashvilleflea market.com, to get more details. And for more information, visit the website, thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Listening to this Allstate commercial about savings might be the hardest thing about getting those savings. Save for simply becoming an Allstate customer. Save more for adding DriveWise. And save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. Allstate. Minimum effort, maximum reward.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. DriveWise is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Northbrook, Illinois.
The George Blaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Blaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Blaster Show.
This is going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Blaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming your way tonight at 6, another edition of the Tyson Helton Show, head coach of Western Kentucky. But right now, a chance to talk some Alabama football. Brett Hudson, the Bama beat writer for the Tuscaloosa News, also TideSports.com, joining us now. First of all, Brett, welcome back to the show. And let's look back at Saturday, and boy, a nice outcome at the end with Alabama winning 48-17. But what a terrible loss. Very first play as far as the opening kickoff with Jalen Waddle going down, and it looks like he is lost for the year.
Yeah, Alabama unfortunately has some experience with these wins that feel like losses due to injury. They had a couple with Tua last year and Jalen this year, and if you want to go in the way back machine with Tyrone Prothrow, close to 20 years ago now, and there have been some others in between, but yeah, this is one of those injuries. You know, one of the strengths of this Alabama team is it's deep, especially on the offensive side of the ball, more so than the defensive side. So there are a lot of positions where they could handle an injury, and they're deep enough at wide receiver to still be wildly productive and among the best offenses in the nation without Jalen Waddle. But man, is it a lot harder to do. You know, you could depend on just throwing the ball to him anywhere between 5 and 7 times a game and him just going and getting you 120, 125 yards and a couple touchdowns. And maybe Slade Bolden can be that guy, or maybe they have a freshman come up and kind of tag team with Slade to recreate some of that production. But it's a lot easier to do it when Waddle's the one out there than trying to get it with somebody else.
Well, we already knew what Bama had with Devontae Smith, who, along with Waddle, both projected first-round picks as far as in the April draft. But John Mechie has certainly stepped it up as far as being the number three guy so far this year. And then Slade Bolden looked really good on Saturday. I mean, you look at their numbers, combined 13 catches, 245 yards on Saturday. Do they need another person to maybe step up, just to play it safe, in case there is another injury that may impact this team down the road?
I think they would need someone to step up in terms of another injury down the road. Like the four or the three now they have of Devontae Smith, John Mechie III, and Slade Bolden, I think that's good enough to again, be one of the best offenses in the country. But they definitely need someone else to step up and be a definite force for when they do want to go to four wide receiver sets, or in the event that someone takes a knock here or there and has to miss a quarter or a half or whatever. And it's almost certainly going to be a freshman in that regard. They signed three of them in their most recent recruiting class. The one that got the most acclaim in the preseason was Javon Baker, but Trayshawn Holden and Tyu Jones-Bell were also highly heralded wide receiver prospects in that recruiting class. So Alabama does need one for depth purposes in the event that someone else gets injured, and a freshman is probably going to have to be the one that does it.
I go back to Derrick Henry's last year when he just took over, and so he became that guy. If Alabama wants to get to that point where Najee Harris could be that guy and he takes over fortunately for the Alabama at this point with Mac Jones, the way he is passing and connecting with his receivers, I mean, you can have the nice balanced offense. But is Najee Harris good enough to take over that offense?
I think he is. Some people seem to disagree, but I think he is. And it's like you said, Alabama doesn't need that out of a guy. They don't have the shortcomings at one position or another where they need someone like Amari Cooper to catch 1,000 passes in a year, or they don't need someone like Derrick Henry to take a million carries in a year. They have depth of talent at the wide receiver and running back position. Plus, they play a ton of tight ends, both a ton as in a lot of snaps and a ton as in a bunch of different guys playing the position. So they have tons of weapons at several positions that can make this offense hum whenever they want it to. And they kind of like it that way. They kind of like being able to basically take what a defense gives them. They like being able to see a loaded box and throw RPOs all over the field for 400 yards and a few touchdowns. And if somebody wants to come out of a shoot in dime or quarter, they like being able to run power and let Najee Harris run for 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns. They like being that offense. Now, in terms of Najee being more of a workhorse kind of guy, I am curious if he starts to take more in the receiving game in Waddle's absence. He had a career-high 6 catches against Tennessee, which is kind of wild considering he broke Alabama school record for single-season receiving touchdowns by a running back last year. He never had more than 5 catches in a game in doing so last year. A lot of that was just dump-offs, kind of reacting to pressure and just Mac Jones getting the ball out of his hands when he needed to. But now they have a week to scheme, knowing that they won't have Jalen Waddle available. So while they have all the confidence in the world and it's Slade Bolden and John Mechie III to continue being productive wide receivers to the point that they don't necessarily have to change their passing game, I wonder if they do a little bit just to steal an extra 2 or 3 touches per game for Najee, just doing so as a receiver this time to kind of compensate for the touches that would have gone to Jalen Waddle.
What is Waddle's prognosis at this point? When will he you know, be healed, and when can he resume football-type activities?
Yeah, Saban said today that he's going to be 6 to 8 weeks before he can really even start the rehab process. So that puts him around Christmas before he starts doing physical therapy or rehab, and it depends on how his body reacts to that. So I think the optimistic viewpoint is that he would be available to work out for pro teams around the pro day and combine area and individual workout area and kind of that early to mid-March into early to mid-April range. I mean, you would like to think that he would be able to work out for teams in that area, but that's assuming that he reacts well to physical therapy and that he even works up to close to 100% in that time, which I know how NFL people bug out about combines and pro days and individual workouts. The whole thing is garbage to me, but we don't have enough time to get into that conversation. But if I were Waddle, I would wonder if I even need to do that. Like, look at my film. Dude, I was the most electric playmaker in college football this year. If you don't think I'm a top 15 pick, that's a you problem. That's not a me problem. So I'm sure Waddle will do everything he can to make himself available for teams and workouts if he does choose to enter the 2021 NFL draft. But I would also wonder if it's even necessary. Like, does anyone need to watch Jalen Waddle run a few routes and shorts and a t-shirt to find out he's a really good football player? I don't think so.
What's your assessment of Alabama, especially their defense, the way they played in the second half against Georgia, and then their overall game against Tennessee on Saturday? Because to me, it looks like the defense is finally getting to the point where they're looking more like an Alabama defense.
Definitely better over the last six quarters. I take it with a few grains of salt because those are offenses that aren't really structured to challenge Alabama in the way that teams that actually threaten Alabama challenge them. So while they did perform better in the second half against Georgia and the entire game against Tennessee, those teams aren't presenting the issues that Alabama's defense needs to fix. Tennessee did present a little bit of situational tempo, and Georgia did too. So clearly they took the note from Ole Miss in that regard, but I think there are other teams down the road, starting with Mississippi State this week, LSU and Auburn down the road, that are going to present the things that Alabama needs to solve far more frequently than Georgia and Tennessee did if we're going to evaluate this defense in terms of its viability of being a national championship unit, which is always the conversation here in Alabama. The last six quarters have been good, but they haven't necessarily spoken to the actual issues that Alabama has to fix if this unit's going to be a national championship unit.
Then again, if you keep adding to your totals of consecutive games with 35 or more points scored, which is the most, with 18 now, most ever in college football history. I mean, let that sink in for just a second. 18 straight games, 35 or more points. It's the most ever in college football history.
And almost all of them against Power 5 competition, thanks to when those 18 games fall. There's been no non-conference games. This year ended with Michigan in the Capital One Bowl. I imagine that takes all of last season into account, or most of it.
Right.
So you're getting a few G5 or FCS games in there, but almost all of it against Power 5 competition, which just speaks to the level of talent they have around here and speaks to the system that Steve Sarkisian puts in place to best use it. You know, it would be really easy to look at this offensive line, look at Najee Harris and Brian Robinson Jr. and even Trey Sanders in your backfield and say, hey, we're going to be and all these tight ends too, and say, hey, we're going to be a two tight end, run the ball 45 times kind of team. It'd be very easy to do that, but they don't. They know they have aspirations bigger than that and talent that is bigger than that. So they use it the way it needs to be used, and the results speak for themselves, apparently in record-breaking fashion.
TideSports.com is the site. Brett Hudson, Alabama beat writer with the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. Brett, we appreciate you as always. Have an incredible rest of the week, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
All right, buddy. That's Brett Hudson joining us again. This segment brought to you by the Klein Preston Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and the Southeastern Conference with over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Now, their practice focuses primarily on business law, which includes business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group, they've represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com.
Well, good afternoon. They're still dealing with that truck that flipped earlier up there on Rivergate Parkway, just off I-65 in the Rivergate area. 6,000 block of Charlotte Pike, that crash is being cleared. Still quite a bit of traffic volume on 24 eastbound right now at Sam Ridley. As you continue out towards Murfreesboro, everybody was staring at that earlier crash. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.